The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, friends. This is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's program is supported by Coastal Credit Union Foundation. For more information on the Coastal Credit Union Foundation, you can find it at coastal24.com/foundation. For the next half hour, I will be continue our readings from the book, The Ultimate Money Saving Challenge, Learn the Psychology of Money. This book is by Luke Zello. And we'll be continuing where we left off during our last episode. We were talking about creating feasible financial goals. Here are the following steps in writing a feasible financial goal. Step one, know your priorities. List down all the things that you want and evaluate. What are the things that matter to you? Is it a need or is it a want? Inspect and weigh the gravity of each item. Step two, determine the time range. Will it take 6 months for you to reach that goal, or does it require a long-term strategy to fulfill? You need to know how much time is necessary before you can achieve it. And step three, use the SMART, and that's S-M-A-R-T, the SMART method. A goal can either motivate or discourage you. It is easy to create your own bubble and write down ambitious goals that you cannot achieve, only to disappoint yourself. Hence, apply the SMART method. That being said, your goal should be specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely. Again, that's the SMART, S-M-A-R-T method, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely. Check out each quality first before making it your destination. Remember that you will work on it for months or even years, so you need to follow a clear working goal. Step four, work it on your budget. Now that you have a goal, work it out on your budget. You need to know how much money you make, how much you can afford, and how much it's going to cost and be taken out every month. Trim some unnecessary spending to make way for your goal, or you can adjust your monthly budget so that there is still a portion for the purpose you're working on. Setting your objective in your account is an excellent way to determine if there are any plug leaks. That way, you can work on a solution immediately and adjust your budget accordingly. Step five, monitor your progress. Now that it is included in your budget, it is time to track your progress and see how far you have come. Progress is progress, no matter how small it is. Be proud of yourself. Tracking the progress of your financial goals keeps you motivated and helps you stay on track until you achieve them. These are the steps to writing a concrete financial goal. The concept of success varies from person to person, and so are financial goals. For some people, it could be retirement savings. Saving for your retirement does not sound as fun as buying a new couch for the living room. However, it remains a vital money concept that every American should adapt. You could also save money to finance your education and improve your skills. Some people make extra income by attending a conference, workshop, or seminar, and demanding higher client rates. Investing in yourself is one of the best things you can do with your hard-earned money. Furthermore, you could also make it a goal to start an emergency fund. You never know what can happen tomorrow or even later on as you commute your way back home. Things happen, and if you're stuck with misfortune, You can lessen the damage by knowing that you can finance any unexpected bill caused by unforeseen circumstances. Your future is important, and there is no better time to start saving than now. Drawing wisdom from wise men, living frugally, and writing a financial goal are essential. Your future self will thank you for all the little sacrifices you have made to live a comfortable life later. Always remember, the idea is simple. Make a plan, and by all means, follow that plan. Well, let's now move to Chapter 3, Money Psychology. Where is your money going? Where is your money going? If you find yourself always in a tricky situation because your money keeps disappearing when you need it the most, you need to sit and track down where your money is going. Why do you spend so much? In this chapter, you will learn how to stop your overspending habits and understand the reason behind the impulsive purchases you have made recently. Living beyond your means is killing your future, and thus needs to be stopped immediately. Why do people overspend? Well, there are many reasons why it is easy for a particular individual to shell out some cash to buy things he does not need. Understanding these reasons will help you make better financial decisions. People have mental accounts. According to Thaler and Sunstein, 2008, mental accounting refers to dividing the money into different accounts, food, rent, clothes, bills, and other indulgences. Most of the time, people only consider a single tab instead of stepping back and looking into the bigger picture. For instance, you received an unexpected bonus from your boss, and you have loans to pay for this month. Instead of using the extra money you received to pay your loans, you spend it on something else, thinking that this bonus should not be part of your budget and considered yours to spend. As a result, you struggle to find another way to pay back your loan, while a new couch that will not be of much use is now sitting in your living room. To get rid of the mental accounting curse, you need to always look at the bigger picture. Treat everything as part of the whole. You need to track your purchases, and whether you're given, quote, free money, it should either be included in this month's budget or deposited into your savings account. Overspending during special occasions. We've probably all been there. It's your husband's birthday and you want to give him a nice pair of shoes. You know that buying it will destroy your budget. However, you proceed to check, thinking that his birthday is only once a year, and it's a special occasion anyways. The result? You struggle to make ends meet for this month, and your budget is ruined. People overspend because of the numerous special occasions and accompanying sales everywhere. According to Sussman and Alter, 2012, holiday seasons and special occasions can cause us to overspend. If your purchases for the special event are not included in your budget, you may end up overspending. Plus, exclusive deals and offers are hard to ignore. No matter how small these infrequent expenses should be taken into account the next time you write your monthly budget. For instance, 2 months before the holiday season, the allocated money for buying gifts and decorations should already be included. If it creates confusion, you could always set up a savings account made specifically for these occasional purchases. That way, during Christmas and other celebrations, you will not accidentally overspend and brush off the guilt with an excuse that this is a special day. Ignoring your long-term goals. To stop overspending, you need to have a strong will and discipline to follow your long-term goals. It's not going to be easy. After all, it would take years to accomplish it. Sometimes you lose track of your long-term goals and still end up overspending. For instance, your long-term goal is to save for your retirement savings. Your future self will thank you for it. But instead of saving your money, you favored the whim of your present self to go on a short vacation. It did not happen once either. It kept going on and on until you realized that you have lost so much of your time and money, favoring immediate gratification, that you've lost sight of your long-term goal. It is easy to lose track of pursuing something you cannot effortlessly achieve. Your overspending problem might delay your journey to achieving your long-term goals. Hence, it's crucial to write it down and always remind yourself that you have a goal to work on. Every day should be a step closer to achieving your goal. You can write it on sticky notes and place it where you see it every day, so you're constantly reminded of what you're working hard for. Using a credit card to pay for your indulgences. According to Ehrlich and Kressler, 2017, paying using a credit card is less painful than paying with hard cash. That is why most people splurge into buying things using their cards. Swiping the card is easier than taking out cash. The credit card serves as the separation between the pain of paying and the pleasure of buying. Now, if you are a credit card holder and your recent purchases were made using your credit card, you might want to think about it. Controlling your overspending habits can be done by getting rid of your card, leaving it at home, or deactivating your card will save you from endless impulse purchases. And engaging in retail therapy. Many people confess that they're engaged in, quote, retail therapy. It refers to a strong urge to shop as a way of improving the quality of their lives. People who splurge on shopping feel better and visualize themselves living a better experience. Furthermore, these people bring their visualizations into reality by dressing up to the nines and surrounding themselves with lovely things. As a result, their hard-earned money went down the drain. Before they knew it, they were short on cash for their basic necessities. While retail therapy is a real disorder, there are many ways to stop it on your own. This is only a short-lived habit and can be improved with the right mindset. You can start with unsubscribing from stores and shops that encourage you to spend money by sending exclusive deals that produce offers right in your email box. These comfort buys, although harmless, can dent your budget in the long run. Thus, you need to know your emotional spending triggers. Do you have a tendency to splurge on things when you're sad, happy? You need to know that mood, whatever mood that you're in for shopping, so that you then can control yourself when it happens again. Bad spending habits that can lead to debt. If there's one thing you can control, it is not getting into debt. You do not wake up one day and find yourself accidentally trapped in a vicious cycle of debt. Debt is a result of reckless spending decisions. Here are the following poor spending habits that you must avoid to free yourself from debt. Number one, top of the list, living beyond your means. An average employee can make $1,500 per month and spend up to $3,500 per month. How so? There are many ways to live beyond your means, even if you have a small paycheck. For instance, getting money from your savings account, borrowing from other people, or even using your credit card will most likely lead you to spend more than you make. In your defense, it is just a harmless purchase. But if it keeps happening, this whole digging, spending habit will get the worst of you. Before you know it, your savings has been depleted. You have no other places to borrow more money. Your credit card has maxed out. And now three loan sharks are chasing after you. This is one of the main reasons people get into debt. They try to live a life they cannot afford. It sounds tragic, but thousands, even millions of Americans now suffer from this dilemma. To prevent this from happening to you, sit down and plan your monthly budget. You should only live within or below your means, so you will not find yourself indebted to different loan companies and people. You're learning to reduce your expenses below what you can make in a month. The extra money should be deposited into a savings account or used to pay any remaining debt. And number two, spending money you do not have. After a tiring day at work, you pass by a shopping mall and see a nice pair of shoes on sale. You think of yourself, you deserve it after working so hard. However, the sale only lasts today, and you only have enough cash for your necessities. But that's okay, because payday is only 2 days away, right? By then, you will have the money to make up for the discounted shoes you bought this time. If you find yourself in this situation now and then, you should know that you're walking straight into the trap of debt. Many people use this method not just to pay for their indulgences, but also to pay bills. It's hard to repay a debt in just a month, and if you do not catch up, the numbers will continue to grow. This bad habit drives people to borrow money from others and become indebted. To eliminate this terrible spending habit, work on your budget. Try to trim down expenses without which you can live. You must only rely on your income to pay for your necessities. This means any wants that are out of budget or too expensive for you must be eliminated. Prioritizing your needs over your wants will make your life easier. And number three, spending money on convenience. Sure, picking up your phone and ordering a pizza box is more accessible than preparing your meal. It is fast and convenient. Paying for occasional convenience will not put you in debt. However, doing that on a regular basis will do so. Creating a weekly meal plan is better so you will not overspend on food. That way, you can stock up on groceries and the ingredients you need to prepare your food. However, preparing a meal plan does not mean you are not allowed to eat out. Ensure that it is included in your monthly budget when you do. It will also help you to think twice before planning up to upsize your order. Why pay twice the price for the food you can make on your own? A few minutes in the kitchen should not hurt. It can help you to optimize the money you have worked hard on. And number four, making impulsive purchases. Impulsive purchases will drain your bank more than you'd like to think. According to a survey conducted by creditcards.com, approximately 75% of Americans have made impulsive purchases, and half of them have regretted it right after. While impulse purchases can make you temporarily happy, all you will feel is regret for a long time after finding out that the new Coach blanket is not as helpful as you would have thought it would have been. The best way to avoid this bad spending habit is to prevent spur-of-the-moment purchases. Your bank balance will thank you, and you can also prevent after shopping guilt. When you go out, only bring enough cash to buy what you need to prevent impulse purchases. Leave your credit card at home. If you feel you are punishing yourself, include, quote, pocket money in next month's budget. This money is allotted for buying things, whether it is an impulse or planned purchase. However, it creates a limit for you to know when to stop. And number five, the curse of the snack machine. Vending machines are office building temptations. It is so convenient that you feel you must partake of them. At first, it is harmless. It's a harmless purchase, what with the initial low cost of snacks, but it can be habit-forming because of its ease. Without even knowing it, your cost for snacks pile up. You would not notice it right away, but if you sit down and calculate the entire course of the year, you will be shocked at the amount of money you spend on the canned coffee and little chocolate bars. Imagine how much debt you are able to pay off using the same amount of money. Probably a lot. Think of the calories, and if that is another way to lay off the snacks, then do so. Bring your own snacks from home, so you're not tempted to stop by and push the button. That being said, snacks are now included in your monthly budget and daily meal plans. Bringing your own snacks is beneficial because you can control the volume and prepare healthy food to keep you energized the entire day. And number six, endless neighbor competition. If your neighbor changes their car every year, you do not need to do the same. It's a waste of money, especially if your car is still working well. Stop your subscription to ongoing neighbor competition because it will never make you happy, nor bring you the satisfaction you thought you could get. All you will feel is remorse after getting a loan to get a car that is only for showing off. In the interim, use your money wisely. Keep some emergency funds that you can use if your car needs a minor repair or something in the house needs a replacement. And it's important to know what type of spender you are. In today's world, financial psychology is a subject that needs more attention and research. Getting to know yourself also includes where your money is going and why you spend it the way you do. It helps you to understand and become more aware of your purchases shortly. Here are the several types of spenders. See which kind of spender you are. Number one, savers. Have you ever met someone who would make a big deal of every single cent that they have in their pocket? These are people who will only spend something within their budget and are very tight when it comes to money. They are called the savers. While the savers may have an abundant bank balance, psychologists say that their behavior is driven by losing something irreplaceable in other aspects of their lives. Sometimes it's an indication of obsessive behavior. They have an unhealthy fear of losing money, and as a result, they cannot enjoy their lives. If you recognize yourself as a saver, it is high time to reward yourself. Go out for a lovely brunch and do not feel guilty afterward. Spending should be seen as something other than, quote, bad as long as it is done in moderation. If it gives you peace of mind, separate some money allotted for spending. And if you are very strict about saving money, you must have something you are saving for. Ask yourself about it. What is it that you want so badly that you will not allow yourself to splurge on other things? There must be something. From then on, work your way to achieving that goal so that you will not feel guilty each time you spend. And the second type of spender is called a splasher. A splasher is a big spender. Often you will see them picking up the bill for everyone's lunch or showering their partner with luxurious gifts. They seek validation from being seen while spending money. They spend their money on other people and not on themselves. They want to be liked by many and think they can buy any relationship or friendship with their money. Respect from other people is rooted in the fact that they are willing to pay your bills. If you see yourself as a splasher, you need to sit down and list all of your recent purchases. Separate the expenses you have incurred by pleasing others from what you have spent on yourself and your family. The money you spend trying to please other people will be a surprise. It is high time to stop paying for other people's pleasure. Remember, you worked hard for that money. And the third type of spender is called shopaholic. This term is familiar among women who splurge on buying clothes, makeup, skincare products, and shoes whenever they feel lonely. These types of spenders are often seen in shopping malls wearing the latest designer shoes and sipping on an overpriced iced coffee they don't even like just because it's trendy and part of their aesthetics. Besides that, these spenders abandon their budget midweek to buy a new pair of heels just because they're lonely. They're engaged in reckless shopping behavior and often shower themselves with material things to lift their mood. They also have a solid urge to gift someone, even without a special occasion, because they want to do it. If this is you, you know how hard it is to stop this bad spending habit. Sit down and list all your vices. What are you most addicted to buying? Is it clothes, takeout coffee, shoes? Please write it down and recognize it. After that, put yourself on a ban. It would be best not to allow yourself to buy any of your addictions for a week. If you can do that, slowly increase the number of days you can continue your life without ordering anything online. Make it 2 weeks as your next goal, then three, then a month, until your vices disappear entirely. Well, we are now out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. We hope you've enjoyed listening. Please join us again next time. On behalf of the North Carolina Reading Service, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is supported by Coastal Credit Union Foundation. For more information on the Coastal Credit Union Foundation, you can find it at coastal24.com/foundation. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Money Matters is also available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call, 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.